the man, I'm the man. Yes, I am, yes, I am, yes, I am. I'm the man, I'm the man, I'm the man. I believe every lie that I ever told. Paid for every heart.
This meeting is being recorded.
I played my cards and I didn't fold. Well, it ain't that hard when it got sold. Somewhere I heard that life is a test. I've been through the worst, but I still get my best. God made my mold different from the rest. Then he broke that mold, so I know I'm blessed. Stand up now and face the sun. Won't hide my tail or turn and run. It's time to do what must be done. Be a king when kingdom comes. Well, you can tell everybody. Yeah, you can tell everybody.
Good afternoon, good morning, good evening, wherever you are in the known world listening to this live or on podcast. We'd like to thank you for joining us for another edition of Brother to Brother with Dr. Nate Chapman and Dr. Keelan Hinton. We're here for all of your mental health, love, relationship, attachment, and community needs. For those that would like to participate in the show, you can contact us at B2B Psych. That's B, the number 2B, Psych, P-S-Y-C-H, B2B Psych at gmail.com. As we always like to say, we like to thank Marshall University as well as WMUL for giving us this platform to talk about mental health issues, community issues, and everything else in between. But as we always say, any of the questions, any of the comments, suggestions, ideas, or perspectives that you hear on this show are not supported or represented by Marshall University, are not supported by any of their sponsors or affiliates or supporters. These are the sole perspectives and ideas of myself, as well as Dr. Nate Chapman. So as we always say, take this advice at your own risk. And as we always say, while some of this may be therapeutic, this is not what, Dr. Chapman?
You need to go get your own therapy if you need therapy, folks. We will give you some good stuff, and we do hope you benefit from it, but your suit will not hold up in court because this is not therapy. You're not paying us for a session. So keep it in mind.
That sounded real bad. Go get your own help. So let's rock and roll, people. A lot of good things. A lot of things have transpired over the last week. But first and foremost, how are you, my brother? How are things in sunny California?
Good. Good. It's heating up a little bit. You know, it's usually right around upper 60s, early 70s. I think I might have hit 74.
Okay. Well, we don't know how you do it. The sacrifice that you make to live out there. You know,
somebody's got to do it.
We appreciate you sacrificing yourself and your livelihood just to improve the lives of others around you. So, I think things are good here. It's a little bit hot here. Rain. It'll be raining all week, but things are good. Again, we've moved forward and moved on like COVID never existed. Everybody's hugging and kissing and running through the stores with no mask and flip-flops. So we will see how this turns out. Hopefully everybody's
everything gonna be up and fully back up like Marshall in the fall, right?
Yes, we're gonna be face to face. We're gonna rock and roll. They're still debating about if students should wear masks or not, but we'll see. We will see. I'm kind of like, if you're afraid, you need people to wear a mask. I don't know, but we will see. I mean, they're gonna try to do what's best to keep people safe and keep people in the classrooms, because it seems to be clear that most of the students there are saying that they learn better face to face. So,
yeah, you know, same over here.
Yeah,
I think we're gonna have to wear masks also.
Yeah, and I think that's most places. Everybody will be face to face, but they'll wear a mask and we'll do what we can. So we'll see. So that being said, let's rock and roll. Where should we start? We on a post I said that you know, is weed the ultimate performance enhancer? And we'll talk a little bit about Miss Rachel Nichols. So where should we, where do you feel like starting, Dr. Chapman? What's on your mind? What say you? Oh, wait, real quick, quickly. Give an update on that high school. That high school that we talked about last week.
I haven't really been following to see.
They actually vacated their title that they won.
Okay, and what do you think about that?
I don't know. I don't know how to feel about it. And for those who may have missed last week's show, there was a high school in California. After they beat a team that was predominantly Latin, they threw taco shells or tortillas in the air.
As a part of their supposed celebration.
Supposedly as a part of their celebration. The state took their state title away.
And fired the coach, for those that weren't listening last time.
Yeah, and the coach got fired. So, I don't know. Play stupid games, get stupid prizes.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. I really don't. I mean, I think there should have been a consequence. I don't know. I mean, they did win the title. I mean, I don't know. I kind of have mixed feelings about that, I think.
Oh, no. Now I'm thinking, what if they would have done something to a black team? What if they'd have thrown chicken or watermelon seeds at a black team? We'd have been like, oh, no.
Yeah.
It's the same when I think about it that way. And I hadn't thought about it until now how I feel about it. But when I think about it that way, then I'm like, yeah, they probably should have. I don't know. I'm still on the fence. Well, no, I'm not on the fence. I'm like, to say that you didn't know, come on. To say that you had no idea, I think that they had an idea that it could have been offensive, but they was like, well, that ain't how we mean it, but you still knew. So play stupid games, get stupid prizes. That's what I say.
There it is, folks. Stupid games.
So let's rock and roll, moving forward.
I think we should start with the gold. I think we should start with the Olympics.
Yeah. So the fastest woman in the world, Miss Robinson, tested positive for cannabis, for weed. Weed, pot, loud, whatever you'd like to call it.
Doobies, whatever you call it.
Yeah. And weed is a banned substance by the World Anti-Doping Association. And she obviously, because she peed hot, she is now out of the Olympics. So the question is, one, how do we feel about it? And two, is it fair? We've seen hashtag let her run, hashtag let her run. Okay? People are saying weed's not a performance enhancer at all.
Yeah, so, I've seen that.
Yeah, so I will just read a little bit of, just a couple of lines of something that I found. All natural and synthetic cannabinoids are prohibited, the agency says. The agency is World Anti-Doping Agency. Hash, marijuana, cannabis products, okay? Mm-hmm. Then they go on to say, the World Anti-Doping Agency reported in 2011 in a paper that based on current animal and human studies, as well as interviews with athletes and information on the field, cannabis can be a performance-enhancing drug for some athletes and in some disciplines. Okay?
I didn't know.
Yeah, there's a large number of rigorous studies of marijuana as a performance enhancer, but there's evidence that it can help some athletes relax and focus.
Okay.
And on the other hand, it can negatively affect hand-eye coordination, concentration, and endurance. Okay. So, and then also they say in terms of the spirit of the sport, the World Anti-Doping Agency said that the use of illicit drugs that are harmful to health and that may have performance enhancing properties is not consistent with the athlete as a role model as well for young people. So that's another reason why.
That's an important distinction, particularly the illicit and possibly harmful to health. But that's different than illegal, because I don't even think it's illegal in the state in which she's from, Texas or something, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
So I'm not sure about that. That's what I was thinking.
Yeah. And then they said that athletes who smoke cannabis potentially endanger themselves and others because of increased risk-taking, slow reaction time, and poor executive functioning and decision-making capabilities as well. So, what say you? And everybody's saying it's not a performance enhancer. When I hear and when I think about the idea that it could give some athletes an advantage in helping them remain calm, in helping them calm down.
I hadn't thought about that.
And that never, I actually just found this today. I hadn't thought about that as well, is that it can help them calm down, and some athletes say it actually helps them focus better.
Well, and I think I can see that since it's a mild hallucinogen.
Yeah. Hey, so I think that that's important, this idea of, I think a part of performance is who can make their butterflies fly in formation the best. You know, I remember hearing John Jones say, butterflies are good. You know, the trick is to get them to fly in formation. Everybody gets butterflies, but the question is who can get them to fly in formation the best. So if you on weed, that is an element of performance that you don't have to deal with.
Well, that's interesting. I had not thought about this whole, you enlighten me with this new possibility to even consider. I hadn't thought about that. That wasn't even part of my process of how I was thinking about it overall. But I can definitely see how that can be part of it. I think in this particular case, there's so many things to it, right? There's in the conversations, it appears to some people to be racial undertones, and then there's trying to figure out if there really are undertones or not. That makes it difficult because it draws some of those lines. I think the other thing is what was going on with her personally in her life, you know, with her biological mom passing and how she copes with it, which takes me to a whole another line of thought about the athlete's mental health overall, all athletes. And all those things are things that come to my mind, but they're outside of, I guess, the primary thing that comes to my mind is what are the rules and how do they usually enforce the rules in these situations? And if it's been consistent, I haven't done the research to see if it is consistent, but my gut reaction is, okay, well, these are the rules. The rules are the rules. I don't think it's been made just for this particular person. There could be lots of reasons why she chose to use the drug. It's understandable. Maybe we need to have a conversation about athletes' mental health, different things like that. But these are the rules. The rules were broken. She might have a reason that she broke them, but if she broke the rule, she broke the rule. That's kind of that basic, maybe I could be talked out of that, but that's my basic original kind of response to it.
Yeah. I think people's at the ground level, this is where I am. So people are reacting and responding because they're saying, she runs track. What's the big deal? Do I want somebody that's throwing a javelin to have smoked a bowl before they got out there? Yeah, she just so happens to run track. She just so happens to run. Do I want somebody that's throwing a shot put to have smoked a bowl before they got out there? Do I want somebody throwing a I've been hit by a 90-mile-an-hour baseball before, and it doesn't feel good. Okay? Do I want somebody who's going to throw a baseball to have smoked a joint before they got on the pitcher's mound? She just so happens to run. But I think that I see when they talk about safety, reaction time, focus in a good way as well as focus in a bad way.
Mm-hmm.
It just seems ridiculous because she's a sprinter or she's a runner. But what if she threw the javelin? What if she threw the shot put? Would it matter?
Well, I think even to that point, right? And obviously these things are going to be individualized to the person and how they're using them. But let's just say if it does have the possibility to somehow enhance somebody's focus and that makes her a better runner, then that is increasing her performance. I'm not saying that it does do that for sure, but if it has some elements from the type of drug it is to, I mean, we know it could do the opposite too, because of what kind of drug it is, and it'll depend on the person taking it. But if it could do that for one percentage of the people that take it, then it has the possibility to enhance performance.
Yeah. And I think that, again, that is a... Is this an issue of race?
Oh, here we go.
Maybe we should hold it for a second. Let's hold it for a second. Okay. None of us, and for those that are listening, it just, when these things happen, we all take sides.
Yeah.
And I think it's important to take a breath. Let's take a step out of the box and let's look at it objectively first. Do you want, again, as we've pointed out, she just so happens to run. If she was throwing a javelin, would you feel any different? If she was throwing a shot put, would you feel any different? That's one thing. Two, is she least likely to have a false start because she's more relaxed? Again, it's important to think about the calming effect and the ability to focus. And again, anybody who's ever done a sport, a larger part of performance is controlling your butterflies, making them fly in formation. So just those things alone, I wonder if those things change, help change people's perspective just a bit.
I mean, it made me think a little bit differently on it. Yeah, but coming back to that question about, I think the reason, you know, you got to be aware of where you are and where you see it based on the lens, what influences the way you see the world. I think the reason I was, you know, more disappointed about it is because I want to see her as a Black woman be successful. And like, now this knocks her out. So that makes it harder. But it's hard for me to say, I could see how it could be colored with race. I'm not even saying that it's not. But for me, it feels like a rule thing more than anything else. I can have some conversations with people and maybe they can convince me it's a different way, but I see it as rule. I don't feel like it was something that's intentionally out, unless you can prove to me that these tests are not happening for everybody and that the rules are not being reinforced in the same way for everybody.
Exactly. And that's my thing. If you can show me a case that someone was in the same situation and they didn't get punished or didn't get punished the same way, then I could see it. But
right,
it's a rule. And maybe this is where we will go, but I can remember Donald Rumsfeld. Rest in peace. He just died. I can remember him once saying, you don't go to war with the army that you want. You go to war with what you got. And I'm saying that to say, maybe in a perfect world, but we got to deal with the rules that we got. And there are a lot of rules and there are a lot of things in this world that I would love to change that are clearly imbalanced, that are clearly, that I feel clearly aren't right. But at the end of the day, when I step out of my door, they're just a certain set of rules, whether they're right or wrong, whether I agree with them or not, I have to follow. And along the way, I fight a fight to get them changed. You know, I do what I can to get those things changed. And I advocate for change. But at the end of the day, I know if I break this rule, I'm going to get caught up.
Right.
You know, I just think it's unfortunate. One of my homeboys, Petey, shout out Pete in Texas, was like, he posted her team failed her. And I thought that was so powerful. Who around you that see you lighting up and is like, this is what we talk, what I mean by, you know, who are the people who are around you? Who is her crew that somebody around her somewhere knew that she was smoking. And I'll tell you this, I don't know. And I apologize if I'm being judgmental. I don't know if I believe this was beginner's bad luck. She smoked one joint one night and then just got popped. I wonder, has she been smoking? You know what I'm saying? Well,
I think that's a valid question. I think that's another reason I grapple with this whole issue overall. Well, a couple things I want to say. One, I think with the rules, like I am a, for the most part, a rule person. There are some rules that I'm like, nah, just being honest. But mostly, I'm a rule person. But also, we know in this society, there are some rules that have been created that put people systematically at a disadvantage.
Agreed.
In this case, I don't know if that rule is this rule, this particular rule, that case. Yeah. But coming back to this issue, I think it's tough because she was probably, I'm sure, encountering a lot of stereotypes, a lot of microaggressions just from her presence in the sport, how she dresses, all these different things. And then this marijuana becomes another one that just kind of fills into a whole stereotype thing. So her whole history of it, and I think that's tough too, because even if it wasn't like a one-time thing, it goes back to the athlete's mental health. So it would be, what I would be thinking is, yeah, maybe she's doing it in front of her teammates, but maybe she's not. Maybe she copes in isolation. This is what she's using as a coping tool because, you know, all the pressure that comes with being an athlete and not really having a good support system. We don't know. It's all speculation, but I think that could be a possibility too.
Yeah, look, I don't knock her for smoking weed to help her mental health issues. All I'm saying is you know it's illegal, and if they catch you, it's what it is. And that's mm-hmm. why I think to some degree she probably knew that. And her apology, I give her mad respect for coming out and making a statement and apologizing. But it's interesting how I don't hear her saying let me run. I hear everybody else saying let me run. It's mm-hmm. almost like, you know, I need to do this to deal with my mental health, and if I get popped, I get popped, and I'm just gonna deal with the consequences. And she did. And it's everybody else saying let her run. I ain't heard her say let me run yet.
Yeah.
So mm-hmm. you know, I don't knock her choice to do it. But it's kind of like, You take a chance. If you get caught, you get caught, and that's your livelihood. And I'm just, mm-hmm. and again, I don't look at this mistake. Any mistakes are mistakes because we knew that there was another choice and we made the wrong one. And sometimes we do that and we know it. This mistake isn't any different than any other mistake any of us make.
It's true. Like, I mean, I was thinking about that. Like, all right, so I've known some people in my life who've made some poor decisions, what I would consider poor decisions. And, you know, rather I'm just saying that from my point of, you know, having some privileges and not having to make this decision. And this circumstance with these friends, I thought, you know, hey, I understand your circumstance, but I don't know why you're choosing that choice. For example, choosing to sell weed, right? And then I'm thinking, okay, so if you end up getting arrested and going to jail, as much as I know your poverty situation, all those things, I still think that was not a good choice.
Yeah.
And so it kind of, in some ways, although this is different, it brings me down that path. Like, okay, there could be some reasons you chose to make that choice. And how much responsibility do you still get for the choice, though?
Yeah. Yeah. And that's what I want to be clear about that. I'm not judging her for making that choice at all. You know what I mean? I've made hundreds of thousands of really bad choices. Right. And a lot of them that I knew they was wrong, and then I got caught up and just had to suffer the consequences of it. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
And like I said, I really do commend her for stepping up and accepting the consequences of it. You know what I mean? But I don't know. I think I'm trying to understand, I guess, though, everybody else's logic when they look at it. Mm-hmm. Like, everybody is, like, really fighting, like, this kind of sort of isn't a black or white issue. Like, this isn't, it's not about how you, like, some things in life, it just ain't about how I feel. there are a whole lot of rules and regulations and things that are biased, that tip the scales.
Right.
And again, while I fight for justice and try to make things equal, I know if I break this rule, I'm going to get caught up. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So
yeah.
That's the hard part. That's the hard part about it. Like you said, it's just so unfortunate. And no matter what she does, that's what I hate for her, is that no matter what she does, somewhere, it's kind of like Kobe. No matter how great he was, they always bring up Colorado.
Right.
Somebody, even when he was dead, even when he died, like, people was bringing up, like, people was bringing up that collar, no matter how much good he did thereafter. So it's like.
Yeah, and I think with her, like, it's unfortunate because this is on a grand stage, but plenty of people smoke weed. You know, I've had the experience of, you know, going through different processes where people have been who are now in great places.
Yeah.
And that they used to do when it wasn't legal and it was just something they did, you know. So it is kind of unfortunate because she has to do this on the grand stage and people are chiming in. But I think what's so hard for people that are wanting to say, like, oh, well, this is a travesty on a larger level, it's probably because they wanted to support her. They want to see her get to a certain level, which I understand that part.
Yeah.
I think some of it's about that.
Yeah. It brings up a lot of issues of, we talk about this all the time. People self-medicate out of, mostly, a lot of, most of the time, a lot of times people self-medicate out of pain. And especially people of color, a lot of times, you know, the stigma of going to see a therapist, you know, in our neighborhoods, you know, ain't no therapist. You got the preacher, you got the dude that sell weed, and you got the liquor store down the street. Now, that doesn't make it right, but at the end of the day, you know, you just grow up believing that your choices are limited. And a lot of times people, again, I'm not trying to justify the choice. I'm not trying to justify doing drugs, doing legal drugs, you know. But I think it's important to understand, like, people are just a lot of times looking for relief from their pain, whatever it is at the moment. If I can just breathe for 5 minutes,
mm-hmm.
especially with the death of a parent, we all react and react and respond differently, but we do know that devastation,
right?
You know, to a situation like that is a logical, rational, understandable way to respond. You know, I think in those moments, though, I just, you know, I start to wonder again who was around her. If she was smoking, was there somebody there to say, we got too much to lose? You know what I'm saying? Like, I think you need those people around. And like you said, maybe she copes in isolation or coped alone, you know? But I'm just like, I hope that all of us have people in our lives that are there to say, yo, we got too much to lose. No. You know what I'm saying? Yeah, let's find some other way. And I wonder if she had someone like that in her life. And maybe she didn't.
Maybe she didn't.
So I don't know. It's a hard. Real quick, station identification. This is Marshall University, WMUL 88.1 FM. You are listening to Brother to Brother with Dr. Nate Chapman and Dr. Keelan Hinton. Here for your community health, love, relationship, and attachment needs and mental health needs. And we are talking about the Olympics, talking about sports enhancers, and Miss Richardson, who, you know, talking about, was it fair or not that she her Olympic dreams were discontinued because of weed use. And we talked about a lot of things that maybe a lot of people didn't know. Weed as a performance enhancer, in the regard that it can keep you calm. It can help some people focus. Do you want somebody with a javelin smoking weed, or somebody with throwing a shot put? So these are things that, again, when we are invested in people, as you know, we start to, we have a halo effect. You know, this idea that the halo effect is this idea. Somebody has one good characteristic and we start to see all the good things about them, you know, and we see all the good qualities that they have. And sometimes those things can cloud the way we see situations. So I don't know. And like we said, it's unfortunate. You know, I wish her peace and blessings, whatever that she does. I really commend her for stepping up and saying something. But there are a lot of questions that we probably would never know. I wonder if she was coping in isolation. My thing is, where is your team? Where are the people around you to say, Queen, we got too much to lose. Let's find some other way. Let's go somewhere. Let's do something. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Again, that's not to not to say that she isn't responsible for her own actions, but I just think that especially when we're going through trying times, we need those people in our lives to help pull us back, to stop, you know, to stop us from maybe making questionable decisions. So I don't know. I'm with you. I don't think that, unless somebody can show me otherwise, I don't necessarily think that this was a race thing.
Right.
I understand the WADA, World Anti-Doping Association. I understand. When I read it now, I understand their perspective. You know, this idea of, one, from a role model perspective, but two, it actually can help some people remain calm. They don't have to fight the nerves like everyone else to perform. Yeah. And the question is that fair? And again, do you want somebody with a javelin throwing a javelin doing weed, you know, smoking weed out there? So I understand their perspective, and I wonder if after hearing that, that will change and shape other people's perspectives. So I don't know if you're listening. Let us know. Leave something in the thread that we posted, either on my page or Dr. Chapman's page, or shoot us an email. Let us know yes or no, b2bpsych@gmail.com. Okay. Anything else before we move on, Dr. Chapman?
Yep, I think we got it.
Moving on and moving forward then, Miss Rachel Nichols. Okay, I am a fan of hers.
Yes.
So, if you haven't heard, Miss Rachel Nichols, who is a very famous, she is the host of a show called The Jump. She is a very accomplished reporter, commentator, sports commentator and reporter. ESPN made a decision for the NBA Finals to, I believe, to use someone else, a person of color.
Yeah, last year in 2020, in the bubble.
Yeah, during the bubble. Miss Nichols makes the statement that it was because the person was black. Or if you know, you can speak to it a little bit more clearly.
Yeah, let me read it. All right, so she said, quote, "If you need to give her more things to do because you're feeling pressure about your crappy longtime record on diversity," which, by the way, I know personally from the female side of it, "like, go for it," Nichols said on the call audio, which was published by Times. Then she finished, "just find it somewhere else. You're not going to find it from me or taking my thing away."
So you start this time. Thoughts. What are your initial raw thoughts about that?
Okay, so the reporter she's talking about is Maria Taylor, in case you guys want to Google it and get more information. You know what? I've been following this story for a little bit. It's been developing, right? I remember when it first came out, and I saw it because I've been watching ESPN a lot lately, and she's on now a lot more. But to me, what it highlighted the most is a sort of blind privilege. I mean, that's what it screamed to me. Like, not necessarily that it's toned with all of its bias, but it's just unawareness of what you said this to me once. I think we were having this conversation and you said that you've had somebody tell you, "that's cool, but I don't want them to take away from my slot." Like, yeah, I hear what you're saying.
Yeah.
And that is exactly what she was saying. Like, oh, she's saying, "that's cool. Like, work on your diversity. That's cool. I see you feeling pressure to do it, but don't take away my thing." Which to me shows a silence to the privilege that she has. I can understand it, I guess, from some perspective of like people wanting to protect what they have.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
It really negates anything. And I don't know what Rachel Nichols' opinion of Maria Taylor is. Maybe she doesn't feel like she's qualified. I don't know. But it negates and really amplifies this idea of privilege. And then the whole battle that a number of minority people of color are facing anyways, that they have a job that they're supposedly unqualified for. And I don't even know when she said that statement, if there was any realization. I know there was a realization, don't take my thing, but it sounds like to me like, oh, she shouldn't be here anyways, which maybe she legitimately feels that way. But also it just rings true to the thing that I think people of color are fighting most of the time in these situations.
Yeah. I'll tell you, and in the back of your head, I want you to think about, don't answer now, we'll answer in a second. Should she have been reprimanded for it? That's ultimately what I want you to think about. But this is what I will say. I think, I just lost my thought. I'm getting old. This is it. I think that this is what some people don't realize. I understand Rachel Nichols' perspective from her perspective, but she's not looking at the larger picture. Because of the way that we think about, it's not privilege. Check me out. It's not privilege, it's seniority. See, to me, seniority is another way to cloak privilege. Obviously, Ms. Nichols, you have more seniority. One, because you're older. Two, you've been doing the craft longer. Okay, so because you're older and you've been doing the craft longer and you've been in the business longer, obviously you have seniority. So people who have seniority feel like I should always get first pick.
Yeah, I agree with that. I mean, being in situations where people have seniority, yes, I think that's true.
So I should always get first pick. I can't help that you was born before me. And the question is, does that trump what the institution needs, what society needs, what the situation needs? And I think that sometimes we got to realize that somebody come through the door and they just may be what's needed for the time. And that supersedes what I can give, even though, you know, all the years of seniority I got, I'm sometimes just somebody just straight out of school may have fresh ideas. They may see the world in a different way. And I have to accept that. I've been here 20 years, but the fact is this cat is new. He's fresh and he or she sees the world or environment in a fresh new way that I don't. Should I still be allowed to pool seniority and keep the institution in my situation, keep the department, keep the university back in time? I've always said the problem with institutions and the problem with society is that it's run by people who use flip phones. Is that, and what I mean by that is when people get old, like, you know, the people who are in charge are not fresh. They're old cats that they stay in charge because they got seniority. And they continue to use years of an experience and seniority as an excuse to get the good games, to get the good interviews, to get the major slots. You know, and it's just kind of like, wait your turn. But what we do is we keep these young, fresh ideas out of circulation when they need to be in play now.
Yeah, I mean, I agree. And I've heard that your flip phone analogy before. I think the added twist to it is if she would have just said, you know, which still could have been what she was thinking, but maybe it would have been code. But she would have just said, you know, well, hey, I understand they want to get some new blood. They want to get some new people, a new perspective. That's not what she said. She said diversity, which is like basically Yeah, I know she's got some seniority and she doesn't want this new pup coming in, but it's not the regular new pup, it's the black new pup that's the problem. You know, that's kind of how I interpret that with the, even though she was trying to say, I understand it because I'm a woman, which to me brings in the blindness. I understand it because I'm this, but I still think it's this. Like, yeah. The token.
Yeah. I think a good question is, do institutions do that? Are institutions in a place that they're saying, we need to look like we're in favor of diversity, so let's find somebody black? I think that's a fair question to ask. And I don't know if anyone will ever be able to really answer that question. And is anybody brave enough to answer that question?
Yeah, I guess that's a tough question for sure.
I would love to know what people think. If you can answer on the page or shoot us an email, b2bpsych@gmail.com. Do we think that institutions, because we are in a space now that we want to appear as though we care about diversity, would we say, let's find someone trans? Put somebody black in that spot. Put somebody gay in that spot. Let's put a woman in that spot. You know, like, do those things happen? Is the question.
Yeah, I don't know the answer to that, but I know that you see it on brochures. You know what I'm saying? I wouldn't be surprised if you go to a place and it's got like this, very diverse brochure, but then you get there and it's like, oh, you know, this doesn't look the way it did.
Is that what happened to you? You can make no comment. You don't have to comment, my friend. I'm just saying, you know, you saw a couple of brochures with a couple of colored folks on it. You say, hey, man, that place looked like it's really diverse. You got here, you looked around, and you said, you know, hey, oh my God, was I bamboozled? I understand.
It happens, you know? It does happen.
To be honest, I don't care what Rachel Nichols thinks. I think that people are, this is my thing, people are entitled to feel however they want to feel. It only becomes an issue when you have power. That's when it becomes an issue.
And she didn't have power in that situation.
But I believe with all the tenure and shows that she does to some degree.
Okay.
Power in some situations, maybe not in this situation. You know what I'm saying? But I don't care what she thinks. That's what I'm like. Why do we care what Rachel Nichols thinks that she was replaced because somebody was black? You know what I'm saying? I only care if Rachel Nichols thinks that and she's the manager or she's the supervisor or she's the one who does casting calls or whatever. That's really when it matters. I don't care. I think that people have, and I know this is weird and I'll probably get slammed for this. I think that people have the God-given right to be a butthead if they want to. You have the God-given right not to like black folks or white folks or whatever. It only becomes an issue when if you're harassing people, if you're disturbing people's way of life, or if you have power, that is when it becomes an issue.
Yeah, I mean, I think with this particular issue, like she was covering the NBA finals and then got canceled. And I think part of that might've been because I think Maria Taylor was supposed to do it also. So probably didn't want no beef on air, but regardless. So that comes to the question, do I think that she should have been canceled? I really have no dog in that fight. Her saying that is she's just saying something that a whole bunch of people think and never get to say. And so we never get to deal with it because it stays in their head and they have these conversations privately, like she thought she was having a conversation privately.
Yeah.
To me, it's not so much about what happens to her. It's just an example of, and this is, I don't really know Rachel Nichols too well. But I see her, based on some of the things I've heard her say, as somebody who feels like they're aware of these issues, that a hole was exposed. So it just, to me, serves as a good example of how a blind spot different than the person who's totally blind of it, someone who thinks they're not really, but then they are.
Yeah. Yeah. I like that. That is such a good point. I like that. I like the way you phrased that. And you've said, you've alluded to that before, this idea of how we all have these blind spots in the way we perceive the world. Yeah. And maybe that is a blind spot to her, but I guarantee you, if you were to ask her, it's not a blind spot. I think a way to perpetuate, again, I think a way that not everyone, but a way that some people perpetuate racism and sexism and homophobia is this idea of seniority. You know that you and y'all and your group has been in power forever. And I will never catch up. And I will never have power. And I will never have the ability to make the choices because seniority will always rule. And people die in positions. People die as deans. They die as CEOs of basketball companies. They die of, you know, 90 years old, you 80 and 90 years old. And you die as the COO of some communications company. And it's always, the question is, why do you have seniority? When did you start? Obviously, there's an age issue, but, you know, did you start at a time that discrimination against, you know, and Rachel Nichols, you know, her fine self, she almost 50. A lot of people don't know that. So, like, yeah, she's like 45 or something like that. She's like in her 40s. She's in her mid-40s, almost 50. She's like in her mid-40s, I think. I could be wrong. I apologize.
Between mid-50s and almost
50.
Okay.
I mean, she's in her mid-40s. Okay. She's like in her mid-40s, almost 50, I think. So somebody...
But I think your point makes a lot of sense because, you know, we don't know. I don't really know completely her background, how long she's been at ESPN. But just going to the point of a system that's been created that some people have more advantages than others. If she is, let's say she is 45 and she's been doing it for 20 years and she was able to just come in at 20 and do it. And that might be based on some systematic things that have been in place to give her those opportunities that weren't granted to everybody else, which she gets her to seniority. And then when she gets all the way up in seniority and someone is trying to give somebody else an opportunity who's qualified, that happens to be a person that's brown or of color. And she gets this mindset that, well, oh, this is just about diversity and still very ignorant to any privilege that put her in the position and feels like it's all because of what she earned. I'm not trying to take away from what she's done, but I'm just saying there are things that set you up in better positions than others. You could still work hard, but your work hard is increased by what was already there as your base.
Yeah. When did you start? And then, like I said, when did you start accumulating your seniority? And was it at a time that other groups were left out? And it's so hard. You know, I'm pretty sure that she's experienced a lot, and I want to give it its proper integrity. The discrimination that she has experienced as a woman,
yeah,
and the jokes that she's had to hear, the things she's probably had to endure, that deserves its proper integrity. But maybe we should talk about and ask the question, is there a pecking order? Who's at the top, and how does it come down? Is it white men, white women? Black women, black men, like, is there sort of a pecking order? And while you've experienced things because of gender as a white woman, and again, to be clear, we want to give that its proper integrity. At the time you start building your seniority, was there someone below you?
Mm-hmm.
And this whole diversity thing is new. People don't realize how new this is.
And that is, I think, what becomes so, it's a little bit frustrating to me as I'm preparing to do some training on these things or even some things that I've sent you to see how new it feels to people. Because, like, it's like, it's not that new. Like, why are we still, there's a little bit of that frustration. But, like, coming back to her situation, I think this is where it goes to the intersectionality is the thing, right? So I'm sure she has her own story. Like, there probably could be a, you know, 30 of 30 on Rachel Nichols and her story and how she came through whatever trials and tribulations to get where she is because she's a woman in a sports industry, right? And I think what also happens is you experience trials and tribulations as whatever, you know, wherever you fit on that spectrum of difference, but also there sometimes is a pecking order, and you think, well, because you're on the spectrum, you actually forget about the other people that are on that spectrum that might be dealing with more than you, what you've dealt with, because you've dealt with some things, you now negate what they've dealt with.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Yeah. Yeah. That, I, you know, it's interesting because I think that that is the hard part about, at least for me, when I was teaching race and culture, that was the largest hurdle to jump in trying to help some white rural kids understand race. Like, they're like, man, you know how broke we was? Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like, our trailer leaked. My teachers didn't like me either. Like, so why am I sitting in this class? Why are you talking about this? Like, and some people don't understand that while you had it bad, maybe there's this pecking order and there's somebody below you that has it even worse. You know, but to, I don't know. I think that that's a larger part of what makes it complicated. We up on time, but should she be reprimanded? Should she have been reprimanded for saying what she felt?
That's complicated to me because, one, it was recorded. This was during a private conversation. You know, is there, do people have rights to that? I guess the mic was still hot, but you know, I mean, that's one thing. And then two, I guess ESPN is in a place where they have to do something, but this is large, going down to the larger issue of, do people have the right to speak freely? Does that change if you're a public servant? You know, I started out thinking I was gonna give you a straight answer, but I don't know that I have one. I have more time to think about it.
I understand the pressure to feel like you have to do something, because then you look like you condone someone who potentially could have prejudicial feelings about another group. So I understand that pressure to feel like, man, we got to do something. You know, this happened when? Last year?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I'm like, this always, and you know, I'm a conspiracy theorist. I'm like, who wants to ruin her life? Why would this come out like a year later? Like, why is this coming out now?
Yeah. Right in time for the finals.
Yeah, like, I don't
think this person they're talking about, Maria Taylor, I think that she's scheduled to, I'm not sure, but I was thinking she was scheduled to, and I didn't watch the first game, but I think she was scheduled to also host. So it's timely. It's very timely, the whole
thing. This didn't come out when it happened, and I wonder, it's almost like somebody held this and waited to, like, you know, pop it out on Miss Nichols. I don't know. It's just bizarre. It's just really weird that, you know, it's not like this happened a month ago. Like, it's been an entire year. Somebody sat on this for a year and then decided to let us know about it. That's bizarre. But I don't know. The thing about it is this. When people are, something should be done, but again, when people are reprimanded for saying what they feel and honest conversations can't happen, the people who feel like her go, look what happened to her. I ain't gonna say nothing. So it's like you get all these closet. It's kind of like, again, in my race class, when somebody would say something and then class would jump on them, other people who had feelings like that, they would say, I see what happened to him. I see what happened to her. I ain't gonna say nothing. So they all go home unchanged. And well, the conversation never happens.
True. It probably contributes to white fragility for sure. But I think the other thing is, she was having the conversation. I think this conversation was with LeBron James' advisor. And his part is getting cut off of this. Like, he said that he was also exhausted with Black Lives Matter and this whole movement, you know, he got a little hot water over that. But I just say that to say, she was talking freely, but we want people to have conversations so that things can be, feelings could come out in the open and people could help give them divergent ways to think about it. But that wasn't gonna happen in this conversation because she was talking to somebody who thinks same way.
Yeah, yeah. I guess ultimately the question is, does that make her racist or prejudiced? Because she believes that society wants diversity now, and she was a casualty of war of it. Does that make her a bad person? Does that make her racist or prejudiced? Does it make her a bad person because she feels like they want to diversify things, and because they want to do that, they gave her a spot that I could have had?
Right, and specifically not the society, specifically ESPN.
Yeah.
Because this was going on with all the stuff that was going on with sports and, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know how I feel about the whole, I think the term that I like to use is just bias, and we all have bias. So I'm not going to, it'd probably take a lot for me to don the word racist on somebody, but by default is everybody's bias anyways.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know how I feel. I don't know if that, because she feels like that happened. I don't know if that, it's almost like people feel like if she feels like that happened, then she has to have these nefarious or these sort of bad feelings about people of color because she feels like that happened to her.
Okay, well, now I'm thinking about it even deeper. Like, so I think that it still, okay, I'm not gonna call her a racist, but she definitely has some bias, as we all do. But what I think it highlights is that, even though, like I said, I think I've heard her talk to the point where I feel like she might have some concern about some of these issues, because I think I've heard her talk about some, maybe. But that she has, yes, she has some bias that she's not aware of, and this is proof of it.
Is it a bias if it happened, though? Is it a biased? Is it biased if ESPN said, you know what, we need to give people of color some more chances? You know, Rachel, you're out. Miss Taylor, you're in. Is that a bias? Is it biased if it happened?
Is it biased if it happened? Is that what happened?
See, and that's the thing. We will never know. Me and you, we will never know.
Okay, we will never know. But my thought is, that's what every person who has that bias thinks. And that's what every person who listens
Good
to
point.
It says. Yeah, that is what happened. Of course that's what happened.
Good point. I scored higher than him on the test. He got higher because he's black.
Exactly.
Agreed. I agree. It's a very good point. For those out there listening, again, always try. We both are always trying to inspire a conversation. Let us know what you think. B2Bpsych@gmail.com. B2Bpsych@gmail.com. Or let us know in the thread, either on my page, Keelan Henson, or Dr. Nate Chapman's page. Dr. Chapman, please give us your website for your consulting website. Let everybody know where you're at.
It's www.chapmantrainingandconsulting.com. Very long, but www.chapmantrainingandconsulting.com.
All right. Good stuff. Good stuff. Again, as we always say, if you have any questions, comments, suggestions, let us know. If you have any suggestions for book writers, topics, guests, panelists, please, by all means, send us email and we'll try to rock and roll. We're trying to diversify this. When I say just doing diversify, I mean just doing different things, having different, you know, different types of programming. We want to mix it up into programming in the coming future. So if you have any ideas of what we can do, book writers, book reviews, whatever, please let us know. As we always say, we're up on time, but again, we always like to thank Marshall as well as WMUL for you know, being bold and giving us this platform to talk about a lot of these controversial issues. We are very, very appreciative of the opportunity again. As we always say, as I always say, wrapping it up, you know, graveyards are full of death and death. Graveyard, that too, but graveyards are full of regret and potential. Make sure that when you die, you don't take anything to the grave with you. Make sure that all of your hopes and dreams and the things you want to do, you chase them. And make sure the people that you love know that you love them. And make sure you're doing something that sets your soul on fire. And as I always say, try to love everybody and just be good to each other, okay? And peace and blessings to everyone out there until we meet again. And Dr. Chapman will take us out.
All right. So I'm trying to think about how to wrap this up. We had two different things we're talking about today. Looking at marijuana, asking ourselves, is it a performance-enhancing drug? And I think in that situation, that young lady just missing, or, you know, her mother just passing, she was going through some grief. Maybe just to be mindful of, not everybody may have the resources and people in their life, even if they're in a situation where, you know, they're about to do great things, in a situation like an athlete or an Olympic potentially Olympic star. Sometimes we assume people have resources when they don't have resources. And that might cause us to make harder opinions on what they should or shouldn't do. And sometimes the resource might be you. You might actually be the person that could be the resource if you take the time to recognize they don't have a resource. And then I'd say, I guess, for that last part we were talking about with Rachel Nichols, my biggest message there is that, you know, sometimes people think they're woke, but they're really still half asleep. And I don't think there's really anything wrong with that. I think that you have to realize that we're all a work in progress. We all have some biases. And as soon as you think that you've gotten rid of one bias, the other ones are going to come up and bite you in the butt and let you know they're there. As long as you are knowing that they're there, you're having the conversations, you're doing the work to do something with them. And that doesn't mean they're going to easily dissipate. I have plenty of things that haven't dissipated yet. I think that's what's going to make you a better citizen that can contribute to society. It's about the awareness. It's about constantly doing your own work. And trust me, you're going to have the opportunity. Peace and blessings to you, my friend.
I'm the man, I'm the man, I'm the man. Yes, I am, yes, I am, yes, I am.